of Oklahoma City. 56 years ago, that man sitting in the center chair arrived at St. Meinrad Seminary, and he and I began a 56-year-long friendship. 6 years after he arrived, we were ordained priests, along with men from Indiana and Kentucky and Michigan and Oklahoma. It's a pleasure to be here with you to celebrate Father John's Golden Jubilee. It was May 16th, though, in 1993. It was the sixth Sunday of Easter. And Father John, it was the celebration of your 25th ordination anniversary, and I was here then too, along with all of you O'Keefes at St. Priscilla's in Livonia. And you were presiding. Father, we were a lot better looking 25 years ago. You laugh, so were you. We moved around with a lot more energy than we do today, too. But by the grace of God and the encouragement and support of many friends and our families, plus, quite honestly, the skills of many, many medical professionals, we're here again, 25 years later. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't intend to be doing this again in another 25 years. There's got to be something better. We take up the gospel today, as you and I have, Father, for 50 years. And it takes us deeper and deeper into the Paschal mystery and a more profound meaning of Easter. The resurrection is the proof. Now we know that divine love is more powerful than even death. We know that God's reign has broken the power of this world's kingdoms that too often survive on oppression and tyranny and hatred and cruelty and fear. This gospel and this day, the ascension, announce once again the exciting news that the incarnation is real and heaven and earth have come together and God's will is done on earth and in heaven. Jesus Christ is the meeting of heaven and earth. He's bringing divinity and humanity together and inviting the poor to this table, healing the sick, restoring us all to our intended and original place in God's heart. In his passion and his death, which we've recalled for the past 6 weeks of Easter time, Christ Jesus brought heaven all the way down into the darkest places of hatred and suffering and death itself, transforming them, those darkest and hopeless places, and filling them with divine light. We should not think of the ascension as though Christ was taken from us, or that he's left or gone, and now here we are on our own. The image of the ascension proposes that Christ is now reigning over all the earth, not just a little spot in the Mediterranean. Now he reigns over heaven and earth, and they overlap and they intermingle. This is the heart of the great prayer of Jesus, this coming together. Now Christ can be more present to the earth than ever before when he was confined to a small place on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean. Now he's present to all creation. The key question raised by this gospel is who we serve. 50 years ago, John O'Keefe and a bunch of his friends down in southern Indiana, we would listen to music of Bob Dylan and many others. Dylan wrote a song which I thought about singing, and then I can't imitate his voice and it doesn't do the justice to the song. But those of you who know that raspy, probably nicotine-loaded voice of Bob Dylan, Mike can imagine it, okay? The song is called Gotta Serve Somebody. And in the song, in verses, he goes through all kinds of identities and different kinds of work with several verses like this one. You may be a state trooper. You may be a young Turk. You may be the head of some big TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. You may be living in another country under another name. But you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or the Lord. You're going to have to serve somebody. It's a great song in the Dylan style, and I wish there was time to share all the verses, but I promised somebody before who's surprised that there might be something extra today that you won't be in here any longer than usual, okay? But who do we serve? Who's the king of our lives? The claim of this day is that Christ is king. An angel speaks to all the disciples of Jesus Christ in Luke's telling of the ascension. The message is unmistakable. Get to work. Then Paul tells us what this work looks like in the second reading. He calls it building up the body of Christ. In doing that, we all discover who we are as disciples. Because the single most important thing any of us do in our lives is discover our life vocation. Discerning our job, or our spouse, or how to be parents, mothers, or fathers. The most important thing is, what am I? Once we do that, we know our unique and particular way of following that command of the angel, get to work. This feast of the Ascension is ultimately about vocation. The joyful and remarkable assembly of family and friends with all of you from St. Patrick Parish is really about a vocation. As much as it might be, for the moment, about John O'Keefe's vocation and his work for 50 years in building up the body of Christ in Europe and in Africa and in the U.S., I think, personally, it's really more about the whole O'Keefe clan, in which his vocation and the vocation of this whole family has been realized for the sake of the kingdom. It was my personal privilege to know the life and the persons of John and Patricia, your parents. An even greater privilege to join in your celebration of their lives when they went before us into the kingdom of God. I remember well with pride and joy with which Father John, back in the seminary, would receive from his mother mail. And in the envelopes, often, there were drawings of little sister Patricia. Those little stick figures that little kids draw. And Father would get those envelopes and he would show them to all of us. We'd have to come and see them and ooh and ah over the skills of this young baby, 4 or 5 years old. Now, in the seminary, we didn't have a refrigerator with magnets, okay? But they found their way around his room. He would show them to us with great pride and a sense of great membership and unity within his family. Bill and Bob and Tim, Maureen and Patricia, will you stand up, please? Don't moan, just stand. We won't even comment on the creaking of the knees, okay? My friends, the vocation is not just his. It's been yours as well. For as parents, and in the context of your family, you have continued to be mothers and fathers, and with your spouses, you have continued to pass on to 2 and 3 more generations the faith that brings us all into this church. It's the faith of all of us In your case, I found it to be a little bit kind of a rowdy faith, celebrated always with great love in this family that kept Father John going for 50 years. I can tell you, he wouldn't have made it 50 years without you. So what else is there to say except thank you and praise God?